You know, somebody might say, well, books, why do you give the goats such a hard time? The reason is because they give us a hard time. They give us a hard time. And also, I want the sheep to quit trusting the goats. I want you to realize who your enemy is. It's not God. It's the devil and his minions. Your enemy is the devil and his minions. And I promise you, if they're not saved, they're controlled by the devil. Some people are on the way to salvation, and they have a pure heart, and they don't want to do any harm, but they're being manipulated by the goats, because the goats are pure evil. They're master manipulators. I mean, these people are master manipulators. They manipulate reality. If you believe, you know, the Bible talks about with two or three witnesses, let something be established. If you believe somebody's lie about somebody else or something, and you don't test the spirits, try the spirits, then they manipulate your reality. They actually know how to manipulate. They know your weakness. They manipulate your reality. So why not reveal it to the sheep? See, the sheep, that's my family. Paul said he's willing to spend and be spent for the elect. The elect saints, that's my family. The elect born-again saints are more my family than the bloodline who are not saved. I don't really care. That's just the way it is. I don't care if that upsets somebody or not. It's just reality. The born-again elect saints are my true family. There's a lot of saints that they're not walking in the Spirit. They're straddling the fence. I know that. And they don't understand that your real family is the born-again. Because, see, the persecution is real, but most people don't know why it's happening. Why am I being persecuted? Because you're a sheep. Yeah, but they're family. Yeah, but they're a friend. No, they're not. They're not your friend. They're not your family. Because they're not born again. Your true family's up above. Yeah, but they're in church. Don't matter if they go. The devil goes to church. The devil goes to church. Why are they harassing you and messing with you? Because they're goats. They're not your real family. Your real family's above, not below. Your real family's in the heavenlies and walking down here with the Spirit of Truth. So in case anybody's wondering, I'm not being mean. I'm trying to protect the saints, to wake them up that this is not a nice place. This is an evil and wicked generation. It's an evil world. God is angry with the wicked every day. And so there has to be somebody out there to tell you to quit trusting the goats. Because the goats, like, I'll give you an example. So you go your whole life, and then I had this channel on there called Suicide Sheeps, okay? It was a music channel. Why is it called Suicide Sheeps? Where they play all that music? Because they're trying to get you to commit suicide. The whole thing is to give you music to muse you, to amuse you, to put you to sleep. Gentile music to muse you to sleep. That's why it's called music. Just type in music etymology, you'll see muse. To amuse you, to put you to sleep and not get you to think about what's above and the heavenly things. This is not a game. But they want you to be asleep to think it's a game. This is a game. Yeah, it's a game for your soul, but it's a real game. It's not a game like a football game. It's the game of life. But once you get saved, 3D looks like a game. But until you get saved, it's not a game. It's game on, but it's not a game like playing some silly game. It's a real game for your soul. After you get saved, you look back and say, yeah, it's just a game. But then you stand back and you say, okay, I know it's just a simulation, but it's real for souls. It's a game for people's soul. You're being put in the arena. And the arena is a cutting field. The arena is warfare. The arena is game on. The arena that you're in, it's 24/7, 7 days a week, and it's always on. The arena is for souls. The arena is for peace and freedom and faith and love and truth and meekness and goodness and temperance. The arena is to leave the bitterness, to leave the unforgiveness. That's the game. They're always trying to put you in fear, doubt, worry, bitterness, unforgiveness. They're always doing it. And you have to realize that it's game on. Now, sometimes you do it to yourself, but that's all right. They don't care if you do it to yourself. That makes them happy. They don't have to put any energy. If you're doing these mind games to yourself, they don't have to put any effort. You're just doing it to yourself. Most people are their own worst enemy. Game on. Yeah, I could step outside the arena and just be an observer and just watch everything. But why would I do that? Why not reach my hand down into the fake reality that they created? Reach my hand down there and pull some people up. I mean, it's hard and it's painful too. I mean, especially if you care about somebody who's lost or care about somebody who's struggling or something. You reach your hand down and say, come on, get up, wake up, get up, wake up. You can do it. And you have to go through the cycle every day, and it's repeating over and over and over and over. No, I'm not from here, but I choose to play the game. Apostle Paul, he says, it's better for me to stay around here. That's what he said. He says, I know how to depart, but it's better for me to stay here. Enoch walked with God and was not. Apostle Paul went to the third heaven. He knew some stuff he couldn't tell you. It was too high, too high, too much. Look, you're not of this place. You're not of the game, but you step down into the game when you see a soul in need. You see a soul that's struggling. You see a soul looking for truth. You see a soul that's out there struggling to figure out what this place is. And so once you hit source code, which is pretty much rightly dividing this whole reality, that Jesus holds it all together, and Jesus is the I am that I am. And you're eating and drinking of Christ. He said, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. That's actually literal. Not only is it literal, it's metaphysical, it's spiritual, it's allegorical, it's happening right now. These objects in front of you are derivatives from the Spirit. That which is seen is made by the unseen. So everything that you're actually, you know, who was it? Ezekiel? Elijah? The angels came down and made a cake. He was running. He was wore out. He was running from Jezebel. And the angels came down and made him a cake. Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, he says, I want you to roll over in the ground and eat this cow manure. Now, why would he do that? Because he was trying to portray. He was trying to portray in the 3D an image to the nation of Israel. Ezekiel said, I've never eaten anything unclean. But God was trying to portray that their heart wasn't right. He was trying to write an example, an object lesson in 3D to wake them up. God is trying to wake you up. God is trying to wake me up. God is trying to wake everybody up. But everybody's so drunk on Babylon that even though the object lessons are right in hidden and plain, slap, plain view, everybody's so busy with the cares of this life, they can't even see it. Everything in front of you is an object lesson. Everything. Because that which is seen is made by the unseen. So everything that you see points to an unseen truth. That which is seen is made by the unseen. That's Bible. So everything that you see that's being made by the unseen is an object lesson to the unseen. What do you see? You see authority. You see the authority of God. How do you see the authority of God? Because the stars are set in their place. You have a boss. If it's a wife, you got a husband. If it's a child, you got a parent. There's authority. You got government authority. There's always authority, so God is authority figure. What are some other object lessons that are seen that allow you to see the unseen? I'm flowing down the street. There's flow. I'm flowing. The wheels are turning and I'm flowing. There's Ezekiel's wheels right there. The flow. What does the flow represent? So I'm flowing down the highway, down the street, I mean. What does that represent? What I can see, you can see that I'm flowing. Or the car in front of you is flowing. What does that represent? It represents an unseen truth. What? The blood has to flow. The gospel has to flow. The discourse out of your mouth has to flow. When you see a ship flowing down the river, what's that point to? Your body's a ship. So your body's a ship. So what's your flow? You speak the truth out of your mouth. You get in the flow. Do you understand that the discourse out of your mouth is the flow of your body's ship? Yeah, you can walk, but what can go out in front of you? The words, the thoughts, the words project. So when you got this big ship and you're standing on the front and you look out, you can see further. When you get on the front, the bow of the ship, you yell, and you get an echo, or you might not on the ocean. But you speak and you project it out. You throw it, throw forth. So when you throw something, row, row, row your boat. T-H, row, throw. You're speaking it. You're throwing it out. You're in the flow. Your body ship is in the flow out of the discourse of your mouth. So the discourse out of your mouth sets the course of your body ship. If the discourse out of your mouth is negative and death, you're going to set your body ship towards a spiral downward and death. If your discourse out of your mouth is life and peace and truth and love, it's going to set a pattern of your ship for that discourse, that course. I know this is new stuff. I know you never heard it. And the reason you never heard it, because nobody wants to sacrifice to get it. But you know it makes sense. Everything I'm saying makes sense. Your body's a ship. You know your body's a ship. You know the Bible says you give out the gospel. That's your whole purpose. That's your mission down here. The church, the body of Christ, ion. Mission. Spell it out. The body of Christ, the Spirit and the bride said come. Revelation. The body of Christ says come, drink of the water of life freely. That's your mission. Spell it out and take the word, the part of it, ion, out and look ion up. It means to go. That's your mission. To go forth. Speak the truth. Spread the good news far and wide. Throw it out. Project it out. How is it possible that your body is like really slow, but you can yell something and it projects out across the street really fast? Or you can speak to somebody through the wall. How is that even possible? How is it possible that you can't walk through that front door without opening it, but you can speak through it and it goes through the wall? Because it's spirit. Words are spirit. Words go through walls because words are spirit. When Jesus had his glorified, he showed up and he said, don't touch me. His natural body went down the grave, right? Can a spirit walk through a wall? Yes. Can an angel walk through a wall? Yes. Can your words go through a wall? Yes. What does that mean? That means your words are spirit. Hello? If I knock on the door and somebody says, who is it? I can actually hear them through the door. Words are spirit. The words that I speak are spirit and life, he said. It is what it is, people. This whole setup, this whole reality is made by the unseen. What is the unseen? Words, spirit, thoughts. You know it's true because when the wind blows, I'm watching some trees move. When the wind blows, you can't see the wind, but you can see the result of the wind. So you can't see the unseen, but you can see the object lessons, the result of the unseen. So I got a house in front of me. It's got an A-frame roof. A represents the blood covering. It's got a chimney. What is the chimney for? Lets the vapor out of the seal, out through the top. The heat going out the top. Vapor rises. Carbon goes to the grave. 666 goes down. The carbon goes down. The spirit goes up. Your body goes back to the grave. Your spirit goes up. Do you understand what I'm saying? That which is seen is made by the unseen. So by looking at the seen, you can see the allegories and the principles and the types and shadows and the overarching patterns of the unseen, and you can actually decode the unseen by the seen. And you can do it with words, shapes, symbols. You can do it with anything. And you just have to be diligent enough to look for it. And it don't happen if you keep the noise going, because the noise pretty much blinds you. You're distracted. And when you start to cut, you actually end up to the point where you just love peace and quiet. When you get to that point, and you don't want any noise, then you start to see through this matrix. Matrix, the ma-trix. The matrix is a trick. It's a trick. Tricks, picks, pixels. The material realm is pretty much a prostitution system. The matrix, the matrix. Somebody does their trick. They go do a trick and they make some money. This material realm is the horizontal plane, and it is the material plane. And it is matter, and it is materialism, and it is M-A-T-T-E-R. Matter will double-cross you. Your flesh will double-cross you. You don't even need other people. Your own flesh will double-cross you. And that's the battle. When you can bring your old Adamic nature under subjection, because you know it's nothing but a double-cross system, and you can bring your own your old Adam under subjection, then you're not double-crossing yourself. But there will be people trying to double cross you, because they're in the old Adam, or the old Eve, that is. So the old flesh creatures, they can't help but double cross you, because that's what the material realm is, a double crossing system. And you say, well, how do you know? M-A-T-T-E-R. Two crosses, double cross. When you get on the highway, there's two yellow lines. The color yellow is the cross. If you go across the double line, you double cross yourself, because you're going to have a head-on collision. It's right there. It's right in front of us.